Welcome to St. Paul's Sunday Snippets. This is a time where we intentionally stop to reflect upon the lessons appointed for this day. I pray that as you hear God's word, it would come into your life, that that word would be implanted within you like a seed, and that it would begin to sprout and grow so that God's word would be an active and liberating part of your whole being. Now we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have placed within the hearts of all your children a longing for your word and a hunger for your truth. Grant that we may know your Son to be the true bread of heaven and share this bread with all the world through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The reading we're going to focus upon this day is the third chapter of Paul's letter to the church of Ephesus. Last week and in the weeks to come, we're focusing on this book, Ephesians. And I encourage you to take some time, not just to think about this passage, but to read the whole book of Ephesians and see how the whole book flows together. So we see the work of God at play and how it calls us to live out being children of God. Now, the third chapter of Ephesians, verses 14 to 21, says this: "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." If you read the whole book of Ephesians, it starts off really by talking about the notion of being filled with praise for God, and that the work of Jesus Christ puts in place a plan of salvation for all people, that God destines us for adoption as his children, and that comes through Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. And part of it is he begins to lay out this. The last chapter 2 looks at, though we are two, Gentiles and Jews, through Christ we are now one. One whole body of Christ, working together to be the hands and feet of Christ. Here, Paul is really praying for all people. In some ways, this shows the desire for the reader to obtain not just head knowledge for faith, but a holistic, spiritful edification to live the Christian life. Here again, what the author says: "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. I pray for those who follow Jesus." And this is what he prays: "I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened in your inner being through the power through his Spirit." Now think about this. What Paul's talking about is as we seek to live our life, he prays that the Spirit may come upon us, that we may be filled with the Spirit and sense the Spirit's presence in our life, so that we're strengthened in faith. The Spirit is a gift that's given. In the Gospel of John, Jesus talks about the Spirit, and the word he uses, the Greek word, is paraclete, which literally means one who walks alongside of us. Here in this book, It says that we may be strengthened through the Spirit, the one who comes and walks alongside of us to strengthen us in our walk in faith, so that as we seek to live out this faith, we know that we are not alone, but the Spirit is with us, empowers us, so we go forth. And then it goes on and says, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. Think about that. How are you in your life being rooted and grounded in love? That the life of those who follow Jesus, the life of the people of faith, is supposed to be one that's rooted and grounded in faith and love. That what the author is saying, sometimes we think about Christianity or our faith. Some people think about it's this head knowledge. Do I know what Jesus has done? Do I know the stories? Can I articulate a theology? Here, they're saying, no, the prayer is that it's not just this knowledge. Do I know Jesus? Do I know what he has done? But how is it that the Spirit has come into my life? How is it that I go out into the world, not just to be in the world, but to be rooted and grounded, to have that firm foundation, as one of the great hymns of faith said, that how firm a foundation, right? That being rooted and grounded is having that foundation, and that foundation is that love that Jesus has for us and sharing that love with the world. That it's not just, oh, we know Jesus, but then now we seek to go out, and as we have experienced his love, as we have experienced the Spirit in our life, now we go out so that we help others to see and experience the same. That we become rooted and grounded in love. And this, I think, runs counter to what we see in our culture. Too often, with people that we disagree with, we name call, we belittle, we make fun of, we diminish. How is that behavior being rooted and grounded in love? Now, we may have disagreements. We may vehemently, disagree with others. But how is it that we can express that and share our difference of opinions on all kinds of issues? Because none of us are God, and none of us know the absolute truth or absolute certainty. How is it that we can talk about the way we perceive things, but doing it in a way that's being rooted and grounded in love, that we still care for our fellow brother or sister in Christ? How is it that we can seek to emulate that love in all that we do? That's what this letter calls us forth. That's the prayer of the author, to say, here, as you go out, when you live this faith, how is it that you're being rooted and grounded in love? And then it goes on, I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Notice it doesn't say, I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints the understanding of God, or the right theology, or the right understanding of this issue or that issue. No, it says, I pray that you'd have the power to comprehend with all the saints, that together with all the people of God, we would have this, the power to know the breadth, the length, the height, and depth of the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. So we're filled with the fullness of God. Again, it's being rooted in love. How often is the church a place that condemns others or casts aspersions upon particular groups? How is it that rather than put down others, we may allow the love of Christ in the immensity of it? And the author in this prayer is really saying, think about this, the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, that God's love in Christ is so enormous, so massive, that we may seek to realize that. The book of Romans echoes this, the 8th chapter. For I know that there's neither death nor life, nor principalities, nor things to come, nor anything in all of creation that will separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. Right? Saying nothing can separate us from God's love. That God's love is so enormous. For that's what happened on the cross. Jesus goes to the cross to give his life for the sake of the world. And what keeps him on that cross aren't 3 pieces of metal, right? When the crowd mocks Jesus, if you are the Messiah, save yourself. You saved others. You do all these signs of power. Show us your power. Come down, right? They mocked him for being on the cross. And surely those 3 nails weren't really what kept Jesus on the cross. If he truly wanted to show his power, I'm convinced he could have come down. He could have snapped his fingers or whatever and had this massive display of power, or had the angels come down to attend him to go, here, I'll show you. No, it's his love for all people, his love for humanity that kept him on the cross, because it's through the cross, through his death, through the spilling of blood, that our sins are washed away. It's through that what the world would perceive as weakness that we see the real strength of Jesus' love. And we pray that we would understand the enormity of his love for us. So then when we begin to grasp that, when we're rooted and grounded in that, then we experience the fullness of Christ, and we go into the world to make a difference. Here in this part of Ephesians, it calls us to say, here's how you live your life. Be rooted and grounded in love, grasping the enormity of God's love, and then living it out day to day, being the hands and feet of Christ, and taking that love that we've experienced in our own life out into the world. A world that sees rejection. A world that experiences violence. This tells us we stand in our world and say, no. It's not violence. It's not name-calling. It's not demonizing. But everything is rooted and grounded in love. And how do we live that out? How do we love our neighbor? How do we love others that we may not necessarily like? How do we love groups of people that we don't even know? Not to demonize or put them in certain categories, but to see them as children of God. When we do that, then we experience the fullness of Christ in our life. And we see the real power at work of what Christ has come to do. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the one who came to give your life for the sake of the world. Your love kept you on the cross so that we may see that love and know the power of it. Send your Spirit to be amongst us so that as the Spirit walks alongside of us, we may be able to be rooted and grounded in your love as we live out our day-to-day life. Empower us to love others as we love ourselves. Help us to love others as we love you. For when we do that, we experience the fullness of God and see all that you do, so the world may marvel at your work and all you seek to accomplish. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. Now, as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way. May he go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. Amen.